Thank you for listening to episode 35 of the 11.7 podcast brought to you by the College Baseball Hub. We have a good one for you. It's Sunday. Let's get it. It's another Sunday episode for the 11.7 podcast, and if you're new to the show, we have some great resources for you, absolutely free. You are listening to one right now, our number one college baseball podcast in America, and we also have
proud of it, and we also have
social media accounts that you can follow and get other news and updates that you probably won't get on an immediate basis for the podcast. So check us out on Twitter. That's probably our fastest growing one. We got hundreds of new followers this weekend alone. And we also have Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and a website.
Snapchat.
We do have a Snapchat, and we also have a website that's well designed. So you guys go check us out. All you have to do is search 11 and then spell out the word point, POINT, and then the number 7, and you will find us. And we do a really good job, and I'm going to brag on ourselves a little bit. We do a really good job of interacting with our fans, whether they are supporting us or trying to go against us. We take everything with pretty lightly. But anyways, you guys go check us out on social media. And if you are new to the show, since we did get quite a few new followers this weekend, we're going to lay out the show for this Sunday episode just to make sure you guys know exactly what we do every Sunday. What we do is we release a new top 25, and that might be a big reason why you decided to listen to this episode. And this top 25 is based off of not only like RPI rankings and strength of schedule, you know, who's trending upwards, who's trending downwards, but it's also based off of the eye test. And so we take the computers out of it. We sit down as college baseball fans, review schedules, review key wins, review what they actually played like this weekend, because we do watch a lot of college baseball pretty much any chance we get, and we sit down and basically compare teams head to head and figure out the correct top 25. And so this week we have one new team, I believe.
That's
let me
right.
double check. Yeah, we have one new team who's sitting at number 25
as well,
and they are a team trending very highly upwards. And so after the top 25 is released, we were going to go into some key takeaways from the weekend. We'll also recap our top 10 weekend series pick 'em challenge, where we challenge the fans to pick more pick the 10 contests that we think are the biggest on the weekend. They have to beat James and myself, and James has actually beaten me for a third straight week. Not too happy.
Starting that little distance there.
Yeah, not too happy about that. But we'll also talk about, you know, some fun things that happened this weekend, like Jake Mangum breaks the all-time SEC hits record. He's going to absolutely destroy that record because he still has...
They're going to play 20 more games.
Well, I think 9 more SEC games plus the SEC tournament. Like, Jesus, man.
Plus a regional.
Well, I don't know if the regional counts for SEC because it's not...
Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah. And we'll also talk about... And this is going to be my new favorite segment. We just introduced it last week. But we're just going to recap some of the conference standings that are really sticking out to us.
Yes.
And kind of previewing some teams that can make a regional run out of those conferences. So we're going to do all of that today. Thanks for listening. It is a Sunday night episode. And if you are new, we do podcasts Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Friday night. We think those are the three biggest nights in college baseball. And it gives us a perfect amount of time to recap what's going on, you know, maybe not every day, but every other day. And we've gotten nothing but great support, I think, for it. I mean, it's the perfect blend between 3 episodes a week instead of 7 or 1. I don't know. I think we're doing it right. But if you guys think we're not, if you think we're not doing it right, let us know. We'll definitely discuss it. So
yeah, I think we're definitely hitting the consistent college baseball content nail on the head. Episode 35, man, it's been awesome. and the last series of April has been played. We were looking at a certain team's schedule before the show started, and we're like, wow, they have three weekends left. Like, what has happened? This happened way too fast.
The funny thing, I'm glad you brought that up, James. We were talking about like how the Pac-12's already played like 21 conference games, and they still have like two weekends left. And then we go through Creighton in the Big East, and we're like, they're six and three in the Big East. They've played 9 conference games, and this is our last show in April. Like, we're moving on into May. Like,
weird.
How many games? They must play like 15 conference games. It's ridiculous. But James, speaking of May is the greatest month of them all. And why is that?
I don't know. I don't like this. You've got something up your sleeve. I'm nervous.
Oh yeah, I have a 24th birthday coming up.
I figured. Yeah, there it is.
I'm becoming an old man like yourself, who's already 24. I'm the baby.
That's right. Welcome to the Griffey year, my friend.
What are we like 6 months apart, James?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly 6 months apart. So James is a little bit wiser than me. and I'm a little bit more immature than James, so fitting.
But if you check us out on YouTube, you will see that we're both incredibly handsome. So that is awesome.
Speak for yourself, man.
Some days more than others.
Yeah.
Some days more than others.
Dude, and I just want to let the fans know, like, this show is going to be an absolute grind because James and I are worn out from the weekend. We were literally just sitting here before the show, like, dude, this is the most tired and exhausted we've been in a long time. And
this is mid-season form.
So you guys might actually be listening to like a great episode in the making because our heads are all noodly. Like, we don't know what kind of stuff. When we have a decent plan of what we want to talk about, but who knows what's going to come up.
Definitely my favorite word that you've created on the show is noodly. 100%. It is my favorite word that has been
used in this podcast. It's not quite a liquid, but it's definitely not a solid. It's like gelatin. It's like we're very jelly-like now.
We need an official scoring ruling on the word noodly to figure out how do we categorize this.
That's true. But James, let's give the people what they want. They tuned in to hear our new top 25, exclusive to 11.7. And at the end of the day, it's pretty similar to all the other ranking systems out there. Like, we come out with it. I think we actually released ours first, between Perfect Game, D1 Baseball.
You're damn right. We released it first.
We released it. It's past midnight. So let's see. We're always the first people to post it. So people can't say like, oh, you just copy them. Like, no.
Nope.
This is about as authentic as it gets, man. And
unfortunately, we take a lot of pride in our opinions. So. Yeah.
But I do believe that we are going to be the only of the major ranking systems to have our number 25 team. I think we're the only ones that rank this team. And let's go ahead and get started with 25.
I'm fired up, man.
25, we have the Texas State Bobcats. And the Bobcats are trending completely upwards, moving in the right direction. They went 2 out of 3. No, did they sweep this weekend? I don't even remember. But
4-0, baby.
Yeah, 4-0 this week. That's right. They swept this weekend. They're taking the Sun Belt by storm. They kind of have a little bit of Coastal Carolina in them from 2016. Like, a lot of older guys that have played a lot of baseball, kind of got swept under the radar for a majority of their college career, and now they're performing on the biggest stage. Like, they've beaten Texas A&M this year. They've beaten Texas. They played really well in that Houston College Classic that we attended. And that's kind of where we noticed them first. They went complete game shutout game one, 11 a.m. Friday morning against Rice. And I was maybe it might not have been Rice. I don't remember who it was. It was one of those teams. But yeah, we kind of like turned our head and we're like, whoa, these guys, they're the real deal. Like, they're not bad. And continued to prove us wrong the whole time. So we have them at 25, Texas State Bobcats, not the Texas Southern Tigers, like a lot of our fans have gotten them mixed up with. TSU, same colors, maroon and gold. Texas Southern is in the SWAC, I believe.
Yep.
And they have one of the worst pitching staffs in the nation. Texas Southern, on the other hand, great pitching staff.
Texas State, you just did it.
Oh, God. Dang. See what I mean?
Minimum fine.
They're minimum fine. I'll pay it. I'll pay up to that. But Texas State and Texas Southern are a little bit like, I'm trying to compare them to, like, they look the same, like the same colors, same everything.
Thinking of a comparison, I want to let the fans know that this is a team that you do not want to see in your regional. They're probably going to be a 3 seed, and they're going to, I bet
sir.
You they're
going to. No, sir.
Do you think they're going to be higher?
2 seed all the way.
You think so?
It's theirs to lose. Like, if they continue to play decent baseball, like, just a little bit above average, I think they're still a 2 seed.
Well, you know what? Come Thursday, the fans are going to get our updated Field of 64 projection. So we're going to hash this out. We're going to look at the numbers, look at the schedules, and see how they're going to look going forward. But, Ben, I'd like to go through the next 5 or 6 teams on this list, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, go for it, James. All yours.
All right. So we've got Auburn coming in at number 24.
They look like crap this weekend.
I mean, yeah.
You got swept by Vanderbilt.
Yeah, not good. Not good, but Vanderbilt is who we thought they were. Auburn's a team that they are who we thought they were. Yep. And you got the Baylor Bears in at 23. They're 12-5 in the Big 12. I think they're going to be climbing pretty soon. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw them approach closer to top 10 than 20 by the end of the season.
Our good buddy Jacob Zolman texted me today and said, he goes, I really think Baylor's going to host this year. And in my head immediately it was like, Jacob, like, we know you're a big Baylor fan. You can't say they're going to host this year. And then I went back and looked, and they're not playing bad baseball. Like, they played competitive with Texas Tech.
They're 30-12.
Oh, no, no. And they're like, they played their worst baseball early in the year, like when we saw them play when they were all hurt.
Yeah.
Now that they're starting to get healthy, bullpen looks good, starting pitching looks good. They have probably the second best catcher in the nation behind Adley Rutschman.
They have one of the best offensive teams in the country.
Yeah, and they're well coached. They're a team that's been there before. I'm starting to like this Baylor team a lot. I think they could potentially come out of the Big 12 as the 1 seed and host a regional after double checking. So
yeah, I wouldn't be against it at all. I mean, I expect to see them closer to the top 10 than where they are now by the end of the season. And then it's kind of polar opposites compared to, well, we've got Missouri coming in at 22, but they're polar opposites compared to team number 21 on the list, which is NC State, totally just nosediving after such a hot start. I think, will they start 19-0?
At least. Maybe 21?
Maybe 21-0. Well, now they're 30-15, so you do the math. They're built there, yeah, about 500 balls since then. So they're hanging in there, but they're definitely going to have to pick it up going down the stretch. Tennessee coming in at 20, and then Indiana jumps to 19 in our rankings. Fun fact for you listeners, Indiana, the Hoosiers, have the number one offensive team in the country in terms of home runs. Nobody hits more home runs than Indiana.
That was a weird way of saying they lead the country in home runs.
It was not.
They were the number one team in offensive production resulting in the home run.
Yeah, it was not intended that way at all. I meant to.
I'm really curious how you're like what you were going there.
I meant to say one of the best teams, and the of never came out. So now I've got to finish the sentence.
Yeah.
So you've got West Virginia at 18, a team that can really, really pitch it, followed by Miami at 17.
I'm gonna go ahead and say West Virginia doesn't lose a Friday night the rest of the year. I'm talking like the rest of the regular season. They ain't losing in the Big 12 tournament on Friday. They're not losing in the regional Friday. Probably not losing in the super regional Friday. Like, Alex Manoa, who I'm going to go ahead and say it. We're going to have him on the show. We have an agreement with him. We're having him on the show, let's see, Monday. We're interviewing tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Interviewing him tomorrow. He apparently is one of the best personalities in college baseball. That's what we've been told by a very credible source. And he was pumped up whenever we asked him to get on the show. It was an immediate yes within 30 seconds. So
we're fired up to have them. And then the last team I'll take before I hand it back to you, we've got hand it back to you. Miami comes in at 17. I really like this team. They got banged up a little bit this week, but they were still able to go 4-0. So I really like this squad, Ben. I think they're going to do big damage.
No, I mean, you know me. I've been talking about Miami pretty much every week for the last month. Like, I think, and I'll be honest, early in the year, was not a believer in them. For some reason, yeah. I was like, this team is too young. This team just has a new head coach. Gino DeMari just took over.
They're in too tough of a conference.
I watched them play on TV. I think it was against maybe Notre Dame. Somebody like early in conference play. And like those guys got after it. Like those are the type of kids I want to coach one day.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Like my opinion's completely changed. They wear a big U on their jersey for Upton, clearly. I'm a big buyer in the Miami Hurricanes right now.
Dude, imagine how good they're going to be next year. They're going to be top 10 easily.
I mean, they still have one of the youngest lineups in the nation.
Yeah.
Like they're a lot like Arizona State as far as like first year they played decent, like 500 ball. And the next year they got so much better because the players got a little older. And then like next year's the year. Like,
oh, yeah.
So that's a
They're one step behind Arizona State as far as the timeline, but they might even be there this year. Like they might have showed up a step early, honestly.
But I will go ahead and say this: I hope Miami does not host a regional because their field sucks.
Dude, A-Rod needs to send them a little check.
Yeah, well, hopefully that happens.
Dude, there's no way
that field sucks.
There is no way that they're gonna let Florida set up a fat new whopping stadium. I can't remember how many millions of dollars they said it was. I think like $51 million or something stupid. There's no way Florida's going to build that. Miami's just going to let that happen. Do nothing. There's no way.
I'm telling you, it turned into a pissing match thanks to Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Mississippi State goes out and renovates their – Mississippi State had one of the nicest ballparks in America, and then they went and renovated even more, and now it's the nicest.
Like, the rich get richer, dude.
So it's turning into a pissing match. You see a ton of ADs out there like, oh, we're going to build this big of a field. We're going to do this and that. Which is good for the game. Let's grow the game. Let's do it together. I love it. So top 16 teams coming up. So these are we're not saying 100% going to host a regional, but if the season ended today based off of rankings only, this is what the regionals would look like. But we're not saying these are our 16 hosts. We're just saying we think they're the top 16 teams right now. And that is Texas A&M at 16, LSU at 15, Arizona State at 14, UNC at 13, Santa Barbara at 12, East Carolina 11, Texas Tech 10, Georgia Tech 9. So there's 16 through 10 right there.
I was just going to say.
It's such a mess. Dude, wait, let me say this real fast. It's such a mess because I feel like 9 through 16 are like equally interchangeable. Like as interchangeable as it gets, like. Texas A&M sitting at 16. I mean, they just got swept this weekend, but like they could be like the ninth best team in the nation, like blind resume.
Yeah.
Like what's the difference between East Carolina and UC Santa Barbara right now? I don't know. Like they're pretty similar teams. Yeah. I mean, you got Georgia Tech who's rolling sometimes. You got Texas Tech who's rolling sometimes, but they both are very inconsistent. Like 9 through 16 was tough. And yeah, I have
an official opinion about these rankings.
Let's hear it.
My official opinion is the field just got deeper. I've said earlier in the year that there's like a tier of like 5 or 8 teams really set themselves apart. I've changed my mind. I think everyone on this list from Texas A&M down to 1 and even a couple like Baylor has my eye. Miami has my eye. And Indiana and Tennessee, like I legitimately think there's about 20 teams that I could see playing for this national championship. It's official in my opinion that it is that deep right now. Like,
well, I see what you're saying, James, but I'm going to disagree because I think this is the year that college baseball is so top heavy that there's only going to be 5 teams, in my opinion, that could win a national championship. Now, I'm not saying go to Omaha. I'm not saying even show up to the championship series. Like,
well, I want to hear your list of your full 8 after we get done with these rankings.
Yeah, well, I mean, I still don't even think 8 does it justice. I think there's really only, like, talent-wise, 4 or 5. And I'm not saying guaranteed because you never know with injury. You never know with bad luck. But talent-wise, between UCLA – Stanford. I'm taking Stanford out of it. I don't think talent wise they're quite there. I think they're a good team, but I think they can get out talented. But between UCLA, Arkansas, Oregon State, and let me check my rankings. There's one more. And then this is where it's tricky. Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Louisville, I think are all still in a tier ahead of like Stanford and Georgia Tech. So maybe it's safe to say six teams or seven. UCLA, Arkansas, Oregon State, and then Vandy, Mississippi State, Louisville. I think talent-wise, those six right there could win a national championship. I think it would take a lot of good luck for like Stanford, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Texas Tech, East Carolina, like that type of school, because I think talent-wise, it's so top-heavy this year. Like, you're going to see...
We were looking through some of the previous year's tournaments, and you mentioned it might take a little bit of luck for a team. Like, let's say LSU. We're about to approach them. They're number 15. So that's the next
right.
team. So it might take a little bit of luck for a team like LSU to have a chance to win a national championship. But we've been looking through the previous College World Series, like the years, the Fields of 64. Crazy stuff happens every year in the round of 64. Like, there will be at least two, maybe even three one seeds that lose to the four seed, because that's about how frequently it happens.
Yeah.
And you get the right matchup. You know, maybe the coach decides to save your number one until the second game. Like, it can get weird real fast, man.
Oh,
like,
for sure. Oh, dude.
Of any sport that can get weird, baseball can get weird.
Absolutely. And speaking of luck in the tournament, how about the year Coastal Carolina won it? The luck that they had in the regional. Down to their last out, runner on second, two outs, top nine.
Yep.
Playing against NC State. Rain delay. Just rain starts pouring out of nowhere. Like, Mother Nature just said, nah, we're going to finish this game tomorrow.
Yep.
They go sleep in the hotel, come back the next day, two outs, top of nine, runner on second. First guy gets like a hit. I think he gets hit by a pitch, and the next guy hits a double or maybe a single to the right side. That's what it was. Single to the right side. Run scores. They tie it up. They end up scoring one more. And then I think they had to beat NC State one more time after that. And they did. And then something else happened lucky in the Super Regional. So
they just beat the hell out of LSU. That's what they did.
Oh, man. Don't make our LSU fans mad at us again.
Well, they did. I mean, I watched the game. I was watching those games, and I was like, I can't believe.
Well, no. Wasn't that the year that LSU hit, like, three game-tying home runs
in
the
like
9th, 10th, and 11th?
It's all rolling together for you now.
That was, I don't know.
A couple years before. But hit the fans with number LSU's at 15. You want to take the fans into the, like, maybe like top 5-ish?
Well, yeah, we've already done 16 through 9, James. We're top 8.
I said 15. Oh, well, you didn't list them in order.
Yeah, I did. 16 through 9? Hell yeah, I did.
You were kind of just naming like the you didn't tell the fans that you were doing it in order.
Yeah, I did.
We'll
go back and listen to the tape after this.
We'll
but
check
here,
the tape,
for the fans,
I'm gonna
clearly said Texas A&M 9 or 16, and LSU 15, Arizona State 14, North Carolina 13, UC Santa Barbara 12, East Carolina 11, Texas Tech 10, Georgia Tech 9. I said that once already, but for the fans, and then I talked about how they're interchangeable. So now we're going into top 8. Top 8. I kind of disagree with it a little bit now that I'm looking at it a second time. I don't think Georgia should be there. I think Georgia and Georgia Tech should at least be switched, because Georgia Tech has beat Georgia 2 out of 3 times this year. So,
well, let's go ahead and switch it. We make the rules.
Let's do it. We're switching it right now.
Yeah.
I don't think we've released it yet. So,
no, we have. No, hell no, we have not.
Okay. Then we're switching it. And so Georgia is actually at 9. Georgia Tech, 8. Welcome to the top 8, Georgia Tech. And then we have another ACC team at 7. We have Louisville, and then we have Mississippi State, big weekend win. Absolutely just dominated this past weekend. Like, I didn't have a chance.
Played Alabama State.
No, dude, they played, Mississippi State I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah.
They whooped up on Georgia. I picked them in the top 10 weekend series, pick them to jinx Georgia. That's what it was. To represent for the MSU fans. And then top five, James, you want it?
Yeah, I'll take it. Coming in number five, we've got Oregon State. I don't know if they've dropped any lower than like 9 for us all season long. I remember we had them like top. Our first ever rankings were like Oregon State's going to be 1 or 2, no doubt. And everyone else had them lower. So that's kind of odd. But they're sitting number 5 for us. We've liked them all year long, and they've performed all year long. No, so no apologies there. Stanford rolls in at number 4, followed by Arkansas at number 3. 34-11, nice. 15-6 in the SEC. And then coming in at number 2, Vanderbilt, also 15-6 in the SEC, 34-9. Again, they're number 2. They've also beaten Arkansas 2 out of 3 earlier this year. And then number 1, holding on to the top spot, UCLA Bruins, Ben. There's your top 25.
Yeah, so quick recap. We have Texas State, Auburn, Baylor. And this is counting down from 25 to 1. So Texas State, Auburn, Baylor, Missouri, NC State, Tennessee, Indiana, West Virginia, Miami, Texas A&M, LSU, Arizona State, UNC, Santa Barbara, ECU, Texas Tech, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Mississippi State, Oregon State, Stanford, Arkansas, Vandy, UCLA. There's your top 25. If you want to see a visual, we'll have a visual posted on Twitter and Instagram later today. And James, let's do a little bit of our key takeaways from the weekend real quick. I have a few that I want to talk about.
Go for
five SEC sweeps this weekend.
Wow.
Not one, not two, not three, not even four. We had 5. So the men are separating themselves from the boys. And
it's good to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see for once. I'm tired of these 2 out of 3. Everybody stays within one game of each other. Let's get a little bit of separation right now. Let's separate, you know. another key takeaway I had from the weekend. Let's go ahead and talk about it. Jake Mangum, absolute beast. Over 300 SEC hits in his career, which is wild.
353.
Yeah, so through over 350, 353 to be exact. And that's only SEC games. Everybody that I've talked to is like, oh, 353 kind of sounds low for 4 years. And I'm like, oh, no, it's not like the whole regular season. It's like just the SEC, like the 24 SEC games they play in a year. So
that's nuts. It
really is.
That's unreal.
No, that can't be it.
I think I'm wrong. Yeah, because I just looked at it. That would be 96 games. That'd be like 4 hits a game. Yeah, it's good. He's the most hits.
I saw a graphic that confused me.
Yeah, so it's I wouldn't be surprised if some ESPN production put up a bad graphic.
No, that's dude. Okay, I just did the math quickly in my head. I'm like, wait a minute, that's like 100 hits, like in 24 games. Like, no way. Yeah, no. The graphic that I saw was it said 353 hits to break the SEC record, and then next to it, it had 108 non-conference hits or something like that.
Weird.
And I was just like, oh, like, yeah.
Just too much going on in one graphic.
In the same graph, I'm going to have to find that graphic because it was, now that I think about it, a little bit ridiculous. So never mind. I've been wrong. I've been telling people wrong. That's really embarrassing on my part. Let's kangaroo court me for that. Brings my total up to like, I don't know, $100 already.
It's going to be a nice fan party at the end of the season between both of us.
No, next year we're doing fan tailgates, and that's a fact.
That is a straight fact.
We're going to tailgate at the best weekend series we can find. You guys get excited. But that was another takeaway. And then the third one, this is actually your key takeaway that I'm going to steal from you.
Let's go for it.
Florida pitcher Tommy Mace actually did not have his head explode. Yeah, he got hit really hard.
Right off the dome.
Really hard. Like, it was like the ball was a piece of metal and his head was a magnet. Like, that's how fast it like sucked into his head. And luckily he's okay. No injury. But if that would have been my head, it probably would have been dented a good bit. Maybe popped. But
might have snapped back to normal.
Yeah, let's hope. So Tommy Mace, everything's okay. He's been going good. You guys, if you guys want to go see the video, it's kind of crazy. It's wild. Something else, key takeaway. So this happened right before the show. And I don't even know if I'm supposed to be saying this, but it's our show and we make the rules. We got a direct message. So
Dude.
Can I? I'm saying it, dude.
Do it. Do it.
All right. Kind of borderline here. I'm gonna build up some momentum right here. We tweeted that the TCU right fielder had a tough weekend after Baylor Baseball tweeted a video of like them getting hits continually to the right side, and this right fielder could not field a ground ball to save his life. And we've been off the TCU train for a long time now. We think they suck. We think they're very bad this year. But kind of helpless. Like them and Texas both just aren't playing good baseball. And so Baylor tweets this video of like the game recap, and like four or five different times the right fielder for TCU, Wolf, couldn't field a ground ball and like just bounces off of him or like goes under his glove. And so we like quote tweeted it and said, like, I don't know, it seems like it was a bad day for the TCU right fielder. And we got some likes and favorites and responses, and we get a DM like today, like the day after. And it's this girl, and this girl happens to be that kid's sister. And it basically said, like, hey, that's my brother, and instead of talking bad about him, why don't you say something supportive or something?
Dude, and I just want to say, like, we didn't say anything bad about him. Like, the exact tweet says, looks like a rough day for the TCU's right fielder. It's an observation. Like, we didn't say pull his damn scholarship.
I guarantee you, if you would have asked the right fielder, he would have been like, yeah, it was a rough day. Did you see how many errors I made? Like, and no, she goes something about he's been a shortstop his whole life, like trying to brag about him. Like, he's been a shortstop his whole life. Like, he just moved to the outfield. Like, why don't you guys say something supportive about him instead? I'm like, no, that's not how
we
it works.
We make the rules, Haley.
If he hits a three-run double, we'll say something supportive about him. But clearly he doesn't look like he was a shortstop in high school because he can't field a ground ball 250 feet away, let alone 75. So kind of got me all riled up, but I mean, I don't really care. She probably won't listen to this episode. And, if she does, like, she can tell that, like, we're not just a bunch of big bad guys that like pick on her brother. Like, all we said was, looks like a rough day for the TCU right fielder. And you guys go back and look at the video, like, check the tapes, man. It was a rough day for the TCU right fielder.
Yep.
So, that was another key takeaway
from the weekend. Personally.
All right. What's up?
Arkansas will not lose a home game in the playoffs at all. They will win every game in the regional. They will host.
Want to bet?
What?
You don't think they'll lose one game at home?
No, I don't. I don't.
I bet they slip up at least once in a super regional.
I think.
James, you know that means like they're gonna have to go.
It's 5-0.
Three game sweep and then two. Yeah.
It's 5-0. They can go 5-0.
That's tough to do, man. It's tough to do.
I'm sold on this team. I think their star players have turned that corner to where they're no longer nervous about what their numbers look like. Like, the kids know. Like, when you're an animal player, like, everyone knows who you are. You know when you're not performing to standards more so than like an average scholarship kid in that conference, like,
yeah,
the Casey Martins of the world, the Heston Kerstads of the world, the Dominic Fletchers on that team. Dude, I don't think you're getting them out at home.
Their best player is their closer, Matt Cronin. Like, that guy can pitch in major league bullpens. I've said it since episode one. I said, this guy is the real deal. Like, lefty, low to mid-90s, wipeout slider, good changeup. Like, he reminds me a lot of Brandon Finnegan from TCU, like, was it 4 or 5 years ago? Going from College World Series, 3 months later, he's in the Major League World Series. Like, he's that type of player.
Yeah. So that was my big takeaway. Like, they've swept Mississippi State, who is a top team in the country. So that I think my phone cut out. I'm gonna go through it again. They swept Mississippi State, top team in the country. They absolutely manhandled Tennessee, one of the best pitching staffs in the country. So that really leads me. I want to talk about my personal eight teams I think are going to be at Omaha and who I want to see at Omaha.
Okay.
And I think UCLA is going to be there. I think Arkansas.
Bold guess there.
Yeah, that's why I started off with it. You say we'll be there. I'm going to go with Arkansas. I see Oregon State there. That's 3. Louisville, 4. I see Texas Tech, 5. North Carolina, 6. I have to have them. I picked them to win the whole thing. Arizona State, 7. And I'm going with surprise, surprise. I'm going to say Indiana with the most powerful lineup of the country going 8. So those are my 8 for Omaha right now, personally.
All right. I want to play the same game.
Play.
I know you tried to make me play it earlier, but I think I ignored you on the show. I'm going UCLA, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Louisville, Texas Tech, because I feel like they've been in it every year for like the last 5 years.
They have been in it.
So those 5 for sure. I'm going to say Baylor makes it this year. I'm going to say they're playing their best baseballs ahead of them. So is that 6?
Yes, sir.
Or is that 5? Wait. UCLA, Vandy, Arkansas, Louisville, Baylor, Texas Tech. Oh, that's 6. Yeah. And then I'm going to go ahead and say, wow, this is tough. I'm looking at the rankings. I'm going to say West Virginia. Dude, think about it. They win the regional. Let's say perfect scenario. They host the regional. They win it. And then they go and play a super regional. They have the best pitcher on the planet right now going game 1. They just have to win one of the next 2.
Yeah.
That's a sneaky team. And I'm going to go with Miami. But yeah, no, I had Miami as my last team. I think that they were – I think they're going to – I don't know. I don't know why. I just have a feeling Miami's going to be, like, I can see it now, like that Miami team at TD Ameritrade is going to be standing there against maybe like Oregon State or somebody. I'm trying to picture it right now, but
I love it.
They're definitely an exciting team.
I'm digging into that. What can you picture actually happening?
We've seen it so many times. We might as well just try to predict the future. But anyway, so we got 2 more things left we want to talk about. We have conference standing overview, and then we'll recap the top 10 weekend series challenge. Let's go ahead and just recap top 10 weekend series challenge. Let's get that over with so I don't have to hear about it anymore. I went 2-3 this week. It was a tough week for me. And actually,
another nice 4-1 over here.
Yeah, nobody asked. no, but the... I lucked out with my 2-3. I think it should have been worse. Maybe not. So I'll go ahead and start. The first mistake I made was picking Georgia over Mississippi State. That was dumb. If I would have realized Emerson Hancock was not going to pitch, and if I would have realized that Jake Mangum was about to break the all-time SEC hits record, I would have been like, oh, Mississippi State's going to win this 100 times out of 100. And so I messed that one up. I really thought Nebraska was going to beat Illinois. Illinois surprised me. They were much better than I thought. I thought Nebraska was playing really good baseball at the time, but they've slowed down, it looks like. And then I had UConn over Sam Houston State. I'm going to blame that on the travel schedule UConn has to do, playing in the American Conference and then playing this out-of-conference out-of-conference 3-game series against mid-major Sam Houston State. That was my excuse for that one. That was dumb of me to pick UConn. And then the two that I won was easy Texas over – I mean, sorry, West Virginia over Texas. That was pretty easy. And East Carolina over Tulane. Even though Tulane snuck away with a win today, East Carolina still won the series. So, James, your weekend was a little bit different. You almost went 5-0 again, which is crazy to me.
I'm crushing it with this stuff. I don't get it, but I'm crushing it.
Yeah. So James had Baylor over TCU. That was probably the easiest one of the weekend. He had Arkansas over Tennessee. He had New Mexico State over Sacramento State. And he had Texas Tech over Oklahoma State. The one that he missed was he picked Morehead State to beat Jacksonville State. Morehead State actually won Friday and then lost the next 2. So it was almost a 5-0. Almost a 5-0 weekend for James, but he'll take
me. Hold on. I just want to hear this. That puts me. I will. And that will put my record now at 29 and 15 in our pick 'em. What?
No. You're 25 and 14, James. And I'm 18 and 22.
Oh, he already updated it. He already updated it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe next week you'll get to 29 and 15. But
you're good, but you're not that good yet.
Yeah, well, you're really good, but you're still not on par with our champion from this week. Nick, what's his name? Kyle McElvey?
McElvey.
He went 9-1 this week. He's won the last three weekends. Like, we need to hire that guy. We need to hire him to come.
Take him to Vegas.
Be our Schwab. Stump the McAveal. Something like that. So, go ahead and tell us Kyle, whenever you hear this, message us your weekend series picking for next week. We'll be sure to put that in the rotation. All right, last thing we got to do, James, let's go over some conference standings.
I got some big news. So I want to talk about the Big Ten conference standings. This is important because Big Ten teams, I think, 13? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14. They have 14 teams, and they only send 8 to their conference tournament. What? In what universe does that make sense?
A lot of competition. It makes every weekend meaningful. That's what it does. Like, most teams are worried about like standings at the end of the year. Like, oh, we don't want to match up against the 2 seed. We got to be the 6 seed so we can match up against the 3 seed. Like them, it's like, hey, we got to get in the tournament first, like before anything happens. So, that is something James picked up on, that he was like, look, only 8 teams in the Big Ten get to make it.
So. The standings too. So you've got, 100%, and you've got Michigan sitting at the top spot of the standings. Half a game back is Indiana. I think those two teams are pretty solid. And then the aforementioned Nebraska Cornhuskers coming in at the number 3 spot, 1 game back, with Iowa 2 back, Illinois. And then we've got a 3-way tie for the 5th spot with Illinois, Maryland, and Minnesota 3.5 back. So that leaves you with, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God. That's 7 teams within 3.5 games of each other for first place. And then you've got Iowa State, Ohio State, Ohio State and Rutgers 4.5 back. And one of those teams ain't making the tournament.
I hope it's Rutgers. I just don't recognize them as a baseball school.
Yeah, well, they're 0-6 against teams in the top 25 RPI. So there you go.
Good. Good. Let's keep Rutgers bad at everything. That's something I can get behind.
There's your Big Ten conference standings, Ben. You want to roll and do another? You want me to take?
Go ahead and take some more, because the one that I have pulled up right now, nobody cares about, and it's the SoCon. And the SoCon has Samford leading by 3.5 games, but quickly rising to 2nd place from 7th place in the last 2 weeks, the Mercer Bears on a 9-game winning streak.
So, a non-subtle plug.
Yeah. And then 3rd through 7th are within 2.5 games of each other. And then you have 8th and 9th who are like far, far away. But yeah, SoCon standings, very important in some people's lives.
I love it. So we're going to go ahead and transition to the SEC, if that's all right with you.
Go for it, man.
We're going to start with the SEC East. Vanderbilt sitting at top of the conference with a 2-game lead over Georgia and then a 4.5 game lead over Missouri. They're going to go ahead and run away with that, it seems. They've won 7 games. So Vanderbilt has a stranglehold over the Eastern Division. A 2-game lead over Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and LSU. Those 3 teams are all 2 games back of Arkansas. Again, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and LSU. Texas A&M gets swept by a team that shall not be mentioned, even though we have mentioned them already. They're 3.5 games back, followed by Auburn, 5 games back, and Alabama, a solid 10 games back. There you go. Roll damn tide.
Don't let the tide get hot.
Don't let the tide.
Dude, I think we could go coach at Alabama and at least find better recruits than they have. Like, the team's not as SEC talented as anybody else, so it's bad. All right, James, so two more conferences, and I want you to actually pick the conferences, and I want to try if I'm going to try to guess like the standings, at least 1 through 5.
Well, so I have two conferences picked out already. Do you want me to just give you those?
Yeah, give me
conference
those.
Conference USA is number one.
Okay. I actually know Conference USA because I think FAU is in first, and then Southern Miss, Louisiana Tech. And this is when it gets tricky. I'm going to say possibly. Did you get the first three? Looked like your connection kind of cut out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm alive now. What are the first three?
All right, I'm saying FAU 1, Southern Miss 2, Louisiana Tech 3.
Flip the first two.
Oh, Southern Miss moved into first place?
Yeah, they've got a 2-game lead over FAU.
Wow, okay. And then fourth place, I'm going to go with UTS.
They've won 8 in a row.
Southern Miss has?
Yeah, in their conference.
Ah, so the Upton brothers, their teams are one's on a 9-game win streak. My little brother Will's on an 8-game win streak. Watch out.
Wild.
You're not going to guess the
team. Well, Louisiana Tech is tied for third place. Dude, we didn't mention what happened to Louisiana Tech's baseball field.
We didn't? I thought we might have talked about it on Friday's episode.
No.
Wow. We'll have a whole segment on that on the next episode. That's scary stuff. If you guys aren't familiar with it, go look it up. We'll definitely talk about it on the next episode. We just forgot to put time in on this episode. So who's
tied after? With Rice.
Rice is third, really?
Yeah, their tied with Rice is 12-9 in conference, actually. They've turned things around.
Good for them. And then who's after that? UTSA?
But UTSA is not that far behind. Western Kentucky is 11-9 in conference, behind them, followed by Marshall 10-11.
Okay. That's a two, maybe three bid conference right there. I think FAU and Southern Miss definitely get in. And then you have Louisiana Tech. That's like on the bubble. They're going to need a late push, to make it into a regional, but definitely have capabilities of making it. So, I love Conference USA baseball. So clean. Especially when Rice was good. It was just so much fun to watch. Sure. All right, and what's the last conference?
Pac-12?
Isn't Stanford in first?
They are a half a game behind the leader in the clubhouse.
UCLA.
Is it a game and a half behind leader in the clubhouse?
Is it Arizona State?
Nope.
Oregon State. Oh, Oregon State.
Yep. Oregon State has a half game lead over Stanford. They're 17-4. Stanford is 15-3. And then UCLA, the number one team in the country, is a game and a half back at 14-4. They've won That's five wild. In a row.
Yeah, and then Cal's sitting somewhere in the middle. Cal's a really good team this year.
Yeah, Cal's a game and a half behind Arizona State, so they're 5.5 back of the leader. They're 10-8 in conference with USC at 8-9-1.
Cool, that's really cool. The Pac-12 is just super competitive from top to bottom. Even like Oregon's really good.
Dude, what's up with Arizona, man? Like, that makes me so upset. Like, that is such a traditional power.
Yeah. Really, I don't have an answer for it. I don't know.
We'll have to dive into it. There's only 300 teams for us to get to know.
Very good point. And we promise you we're going to dive into some more teams. Like I mentioned, next episode we're going to have Alec Manoa, Friday night pitcher for West Virginia, on the show. We're diving into West Virginia baseball because they've kind of slipped through the cracks. We'll also dive into other schools, like whatever schools you guys want us to. We'll dig up some good information on them. We'll pretty much answer any questions you have about them. So send in your questions. Interact with us on social media. Like I said, our next episode is Wednesday. So be sure to get those questions in before Wednesday. We'll be doing another Top 10 Weekend Series Pick'em Challenge where you guys get to participate. And what else do we do on Wednesdays? Recap midweek games.
We're going to be releasing our mid-major top 25 as well.
That's right. We will release our second ever mid-major top 25. So you guys be looking out for all that. But for all your college baseball coverage and for the most authentic college baseball coverage with a little bit of personality mixed in, this is the 11.7 podcast. One day we were going to take over the college baseball world. You mark my words. So, James, anything else you want to say before we get off?
I'm excited for May, dude. We've got a couple more weeks, and then the crazy conference tournament starts. I will be glued to the TV and the laptop, and we're gonna have some fun. We're gonna get fired up on these podcasts. I can guarantee it.
Absolutely.
We're get fired up. So I just can't wait, man. We're down the home stretch, and I've been waiting to say it.
That's right. So you guys take care. Have a good week. We'll see you on Wednesday.